Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to be together, to worship the Lord Jesus, to depend on him so completely. And I'm going to resist the temptation to look for notes this morning because I haven't got any, so they won't help. What I want to do is I want to share some kind of beginning thoughts, really, with us as to something that I feel the Lord is kind of encouraging in us going forward. We've had lots of thoughts recently and encouragement and just knowing the Lord Jesus, I think, together to do with an emphasis, we could say, in different ways, but to do with the Holy Spirit and to do with a longing after him, our need for him, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an emphasis on our need and the joy, excuse me, bad throat, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And our ongoing need of him for any kind of vitality spiritually, for any kind of freshness and relationship with God and knowing of him, which is more than a knowing about him, but a knowing of him in practice in our lives, knowing him in prayer, knowing him in the Bible. We just have what I'm going to say is an absolute need, of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and through our lives to one another. And God ministers himself through his people as they are ongoingly, if I can put it like this, filled and being filled with the very Spirit of Almighty God. Like, could there be a better gift in our lives? No, there couldn't be. And we've kind of been thinking along these lines and having these thoughts recently, and this encouragement of God, I believe, and that he wants to continue to outpour of himself. There's this kind of like overflowingness of God into our lives. It's like, whoa. Like, yes, Lord Jesus, like, we're up for that, aren't we? The overflowing outpourings of God, and it comes in different ways and different times into our lives. And there's this emphasis. And what I want to do this morning is I want to, kind of in a different way, bring this parallel thought to us this morning. Okay? So one of the things that we hold up, I think, I hope, as a local church and also part of the kind of Mission Life Grace network that we kind of like buddy up with. And there's something there, as if you like, you know, it's not unique to us, but a distinctive that we like to highlight. And it's this thing where we talk about the Word, and by that we mean Jesus, but we mean the Word, the Bible, so we'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. The Word and the Spirit. So we've kind of had quite a bit recently about the Spirit. And what I want to do this morning is just share some thoughts, really. It's been an encouragement in my own heart. I just give it to you. Because when we think about the Word and the Spirit, what we realise is, well, let me start here. Sometimes in Christianity, broadly speaking, there can be a temptation to try and think that we could overemphasize to one side or another, as if there were sides to this. We might see that there isn't. But we can, in our thinking, psychologically, we can kind of have an emphasis and we can think the Word, the Bible, the Word, and the Spirit. And then sometimes what can happen is we can have an emphasis on the Holy Spirit and we can just run down that road and we can get into stuff potentially that is not consistent with the Word of God. and we get kind of like a bit bonkers about certain things. And it's unhelpful. And then sometimes what we can do, potentially, if you like, if you can only manage it as a theoretical hypothesis, but it is possible to just take the Word of God, or the Bible, and our approach to it can be so academic, it can be so wooden, it can be religious, it can be as if the Bible is a textbook, and we can approach the Bible in this way, and then we can, in doing so, potentially exclude our need for and the reality of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of like as if they're sort of polar opposites. And I just love to highlight the obvious this morning, is that they're not polar opposites. They are absolutely, if I can put it like this, with no preparation really whatsoever, but kind of like they are completely codependent, interrelated, and dependent upon one another and for truth. Isn't it? You cannot, it seems to me, you cannot read the Bible separate from the Spirit of God and not go wrong. Because our inclination to legalism and rigidity as human beings, often and particularly in Western society, is really strong. Our lust for a mechanistic worldview is really taken hold in so many people in our culture. And it's just like, this isn't good, it's not helpful. We are absolutely in need of the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives to read the Word well. And we are absolutely in need, as we discover and know the joy and the liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The liberty of the things of the Spirit of God, they are always true to and consistent with the Word of God. Amen? So there's such safety here. It's a beautiful thing. And actually, there aren't these kind of extreme positions. I mean, there are in terms of how we work it out in our lives. But in truth, there are not these extreme positions of kind of Word and Spirit. In reality, there is this harmony of togetherness. Absolutely in need of one another. And it's good, isn't it, Tony? And it's like, we love to just point to this morning. The Word of God and the Spirit of God together. And it's like, as a church, we just want to continue, if you like, to emphasize this truth. Because we don't want to run down this road, and we don't want to run down this road. We want to have an understanding and a clarity that the Word of God, the Bible, and the Spirit of God are all, in a sense, one and the same, participating together. The Word of God, as we know, all of it, inspired, how? By the Spirit of God. You could rightly say God wrote the Bible. He used people over hundreds and hundreds of years. But essentially, in this sense, God wrote the Bible. It is inspired by the very Spirit of God. And then it's penned by people. And it happened over a really long time. And one of the things that's fascinating about the Bible, written over hundreds and hundreds of years, is that it kind of cross-references itself outside of time. Have you noticed that? Because there is an eternal reality to the Bible. Why? Because it's inspired by God himself. And so you can read stuff in the Old Testament, and it's like hundreds and hundreds of years before a particular event was going to take place. And then that event takes place consistent with the detail that was written about it hundreds of years before. It's like, you could think it was supernatural, couldn't you? It is. God did it. And it's wonderful. And we find this kind of thing, and I just want to love to hold this up for us this morning, the Word of God. And we're thinking about the Bible. But I also want to make this point, because I'm going to read from it in a minute, so just be patient with me. But I just want to make this point for us as well as we go along. And we're thinking about the way in which the Word of God and the Spirit of God are in complete union. Complete union. And here's the thing. Oh, that Paul Blackham, he's really good at this. We're using him a bit in small groups, but he's really good at showing us this. And that is, the Bible, and we use this phrase, and we talk about the Word of God. And I just want to just make this obvious point for us this morning. But obviously, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the Word, isn't he? The Logos. And one of the things it says about the Lord Jesus is the Lord Jesus, he is the perfect representation of God, of the Father. It's just like, if you want to know what God's like, have a look at Jesus here in the book. Because he's the perfect representation. And he shows us God. And here's the wonderful thing. The Bible, it seems to me, if you can just kind of handle this big picture concept, but the Bible is, in this sense, is all about Jesus. And that is to say, this disclosing of God. It's just like, there is God, and the reality of God, and the essence of God, and the Spirit of God. There is who he is. And then it's just like, how do we get a handle on it? Well, one of the ways is this, the Bible. And one of the reasons for that is that the Bible, from start to finish in different ways, is disclosing and making known God to us in all sorts of ways. And it's just like, I get into little things and then I kind of find myself highlighting them for a period of time a bit consistently, but never mind. One of the things that you find in the Bible, because it is completely from God and consistent with who he is that the Bible is full of beauty. I want us to start getting this when we think about the Bible. Because sometimes, and again, I'll try not to repeat myself too much, but sometimes in our, if you like, inherited psychology towards the Bible, we can think in kind of mechanistic terms, and we can take fairly mechanistic approaches to reading the Bible, and it's just like, what I've got to do, and I'm not knocking this, so don't misunderstand me, but it's like, what I've got to do is, I've got to read the Bible in a year. And it becomes, in my mind, potentially a task to achieve. Now, don't knock me. If you've got a Bible reading plan and you're going to read the Bible in a year, wonderful. Honestly, wonderful. But don't take an approach to it which is task-oriented. Because you will miss so much of what? Beauty. The beauty of God. There are layers to the Bible, to be discovered. And the Holy Spirit of God, he helps us to read and to see as we read the things of God. That's wonderful. It's wonderful. And again, I can't remember what it's called now, but there's an approach, Michael probably know, there's an approach to reading the Bible. And essentially what it is, rather than being task-oriented, and it's just like, I'll get my chapter done and then I'll go and do something else. It's like, no. It's like, what we're going to do is we're going to pause. We're just going to pause. In our lives, in our actual time and space that we have, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to stop for a minute. I'm going to stop for a minute. And I'm going to get the Word. Can I recommend a Bible with pages. It's not just like Matt's silly little thing. I think it's really helpful because a Bible with pages, it's like all you can do is read the Bible. Like you can't look up anything else in it because it's just the Bible. So it's like, if you haven't got one, I'm not anti-technology, but get a Bible with pages and use it, because all you'll find is the Bible. So it's great. It's great. And I think I'm taking this approach to the Bible. And it's like you can take the book, the word, and you can pause in your life. Do you know we're desperate for pause in our lives in Western secular society? I think we are. And it's just like you get the luxury when you know Jesus. And I mean, sometimes you've got to make it happen. It's not easy. But you can choose, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pause my life. I'm going to like slow it down for a bit and I'm going to sit with Jesus. Try it out. It'll blow your mind. And we can sit, and here's the thing, you can read the Bible, and honestly, sometimes you could read 3 verses of the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. You could read 3 verses of the Bible and you could feel like, man alive, there's too much here. Honestly. And why? How do we find that kind of mentality or that understanding, that vision and approach? Part of it is, I'm just going to deliberately, this is God honouring, I'm going to deliberately just pause out other things for a few minutes. And I'm going to just pause and I'm going to read. But how am I going to read? It's like I'm going to read the Bible prayerfully. I'm going to read the Bible. It's a really, it's a really old-fashioned concept. It's not so much. It just gets a bit warped. And that is, I can read the Bible meditatively. I can just kind of give it some contemplation. Here's the thing that I've just enjoyed recently. This whole thought, I mentioned this before, but about attending to something, giving it attention. It's like I'm going to deliberately pause for a few minutes in my busy life and I'm going to like focus in and I'm going to attend deliberately to the reading of the word. And in the doing of those precious moments, I'm going to be enabled by the Spirit of God active in the moment to see things and to read and to understand in a way which I wouldn't be able to do without him. And it's like, read the word. I mean, forgive me if this is just too basic, but it gets lost often, and it's like, let's just slow it right down sometimes and just read, and you'll find beauty. I honestly find less textbook these days. I find beauty, and I find poetry, and I find understanding for my life. I find wisdom. Music is in the Bible. It's like, it's all there. It's all there. And we can attend to the Word of God by the Spirit of God and be nourished. It's one of the ways that God nourishes our lives spiritually. And it's like we can engage with our own spiritual growth and our own spiritual life. And it's like, really simple. I think it's profoundly life-altering, but it's really simple. It's just like God has given us an actual book. That's a really bad way of putting it, because it's the book, isn't it? It's the book. It's the library of God, and he's given it to us, and people have given their lives for its translation. And it's enormous, these things. Anyway, let me read to us, because this thought is connected to something else that I feel is the encouragement and challenge of God as we carry together His word and His spirit in our lives and in His church. And I'll just read this from 2 Timothy. We quoted it already. And he says, all scripture, all of it, every single little bit, every bit that I understand, the bits that I don't, things that are so countercultural, you know, you might get shot in certain countries. I'm not being flippant, it's true. All of scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. There is profit, there is benefit, there's all kinds of things, but is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. How about training in righteousness? Wow, that's rich. So that the man, the person of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's quite comprehensive, isn't it? They may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And it goes on in chapter 4, I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. I'm going to read that again. It's like he's setting something up there, isn't he, in this verse? And it's like it's really, really significant. And he's setting something up. I solemnly charge you. When was the last time you were like round somebody's house and they were like having a minute and it's like, I solemnly charge you, Peter? It's like they've probably got your attention, haven't they? It's like, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. It's like, whoa, like think about it. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And then it goes on about people and society, and they won't want to endure sound doctrine. Read it. But there's this commandment and this encouragement. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable. And it's profitable for, as you see there, a comprehensive list, really, in terms of teaching and reproof and correction, training in righteousness. And it's just like all scripture. And this is where these things, in terms of teaching, reproof, correction, the compass of our lives, it's like it's going to come from the word of all scripture. And then he goes on to give this encouragement or this command to preach the word, preach it. And preaching the word of God, I mean, it is a bit of an awesome thing, isn't it? And it is not just the sharing of information, but it is the preaching, the declaration of Jesus Christ himself. It should be, and it can be, by the Spirit of God. There's these things, they are just connected together all the way through. And it's like the scripture, inspired by God, and preach the word. And he goes on to give some warnings about some of the necessity and importance of why. But I want to just hold this up for us this morning in terms of our thinking around, on a personal level, the Bible, the reading of the Bible, the beauty of the Bible, and taking a minute to pause and really to allow it to nourish you and to speak to you in ways that maybe it hasn't before, or maybe it's become dry or whatever. But it's just like we can be nourished by the word of God through the Spirit of God. And there is also this, which I think is the challenge of the Lord Jesus to us at the moment and going forward and for the church in this country, all over the place. And he's like, preach the word. And then you go back to that verse a minute earlier, and it's just like, all of it is of benefit. And it's like, it's challenging, isn't it? It's really challenging. But I really think that it is true that one of the things that God is stirring freshly in these days amongst us and amongst other of his children in other places is this need for the word and spirit to, if I can put it like this, inhabit one another, and then for God's people, his children, in different ways this happens. It's not just this, but in different ways this happens. And the challenge to then preach the word in culture, in society, amongst our family and friends, declare Jesus. And again, it's so comprehensive because the Bible touches on, gives teaching and wisdom into everything. Everything. And we have the opportunity and the privilege, as we continue to go with the Lord Jesus, is to show Jesus through his word in all sorts of different ways, where things which are really challenging. And so God, in the Bible, name it really. I'm not going to ask you to like start shouting ideas at me, but like we could do this. And it's just like, name it, and it's in here. So it's like we can think about the creation of the world. It's like, there's a big one. The creation of the world. Let's find it in the Bible. We can think about things to do with gender. We can think about things to do with singleness, which the Bible holds up as something wonderful. We can think about togetherness. We can think about children. We can think about marriage. We can think about purpose and meaning. We can think about whatever, whatever. And it's just like, where are we going to find, and again, I want to use this word on purpose, truth. And it's just like word and spirit, truth. Here's the other thing Jesus said. He said, I am truth. It's like, is there such a thing as truth in our day and age? Absolutely, 100% every day of the week. He's called Jesus. And he makes himself known. And he makes himself known through his word. It's wonderful. And it seems to me that all of us and all of society is in great need of truth. Things have become so often so kind of abstract or relative or distant from me and my life. And the Bible somehow brings it all home and it's just like, no, I've got truth for you. And I want to put it in another way because all of truth, so it's really got my attention and I'm not just using this word again, but all of truth, if it is truth, that is, it is of Jesus, if it is truth, it has beauty. If it is truth, it has beauty. And that God can beautify our lives through the teaching and the preaching of his word. To be adorned by God. Through his word. Like, what do you reckon? Hungry for this, isn't it? Hungry for this. And all of these things, which sometimes we're not going to touch on them now, for time as much as anything. But all of the things that you could look at in our generation, and it changes from generation to generation what these things are, but you could identify certain things in culture right now that are really challenging to the church in our day. And there's various things that we could highlight and think, oh, it's going to be really difficult to talk about whatever it is, right? Thing is, I think that it's true that when we have the Word and the Spirit together and we have a right understanding of the heart of God, the things that the Bible will teach and will declare and will speak out of God, they are beautiful things. They are beautiful things. And sometimes people will kind of like get upset about certain stuff that's in the Bible, and they'll be, that's horrible and it's ugly and ugh. It's like, how could you possibly? But again, rightly understood by the Spirit of God, the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, the inspiration of God in the Bible, God is doing something beautiful for people through His Word. And sometimes people go wrong with it, but the heart of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God all together, God's heart through the Bible, through the Word, is the, if I can use, put it in this different way, we used the word righteousness a minute ago, but there is this, if you like, activity, this consequence in this way, where God is beautifying our lives for His glory through His Word. Did you see that? God Himself is beautifying our lives through His Word for His glory. And all of a sudden again, the great liberation comes that it's all about Him and not about me. And this is one of the things, again, which is so liberating about the Bible, is that the Bible is here, partly. The Bible is that our lives are to be formed and, if I can use this word, judged by the Bible, not the other way around, where we bring our concepts and our cultures and our ideologies, and then we try and fit them into the Bible. It's like, oh, let's just scrap that. Let's just not even try. Let's go at it the other way around. And let's take the Bible, equipped by the Spirit of God, to understand the heart and the mind of God, and for the things that He will teach us in how to live and to be with one another. And we'll find those things are beautiful. And we'll find that those things are for our good and for His glory. Amen. I'm going to read a little something my friend sent to me the other day. And sorry, Bible without pages. But I'm going to... this was my friend Jan sent me this, and it's a quote from the Message version translation of the Bible. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the first couple of verses, and I'll just read it here. It helps sometimes, I think. It sheds, helps you to see things in different ways. It says this: since God has so generously let us in on what He's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Did you know that was in the Bible? We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, first couple of verses. Read it. And it's a great encouragement, and I think it's part of God speaking, what He's doing. And there's this element to what I'm trying to highlight for us this morning. This way in which, and the Bible enables us to do this, is to, we're not kind of doing if I can put it clumsily like this, but we're not just doing our Christianity behind closed doors in secret somewhere in case it gets a bit tricky. It's like, no, that's not honouring to Almighty God. And actually, I think part of the enabling of God in these days, increasingly, is that he will gift to us in an increasing way a distinction and a clarity of communication of his word, all of it. Why? Because he is beautifying men and women for his glory. And part of how he does that is he nourishes us through his word. And it's a wonderful thing. And I'm going to finish by just making, again, this little comment. But I encourage us, and this week, sometimes it's nice to have a bit of homework, isn't it? If you don't already, I genuinely encourage us this week, and I know it can be really tricky in busy lives, but this week, on purpose, just take a minute. Honestly, I recommend it. It's like, take a minute, and it's like this afternoon, you could have a look at your calendar for the week, couldn't you? And it's just like, oh, that little space there, that could be a moment. And it's just like, what I'm going to do with that moment is I'm going to take a little pause. I'm going to take a little pause with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and I'm going to read it. It's practical, isn't it, as well as other things. But so I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it in a kind of meditative way. That's not getting all kind of like ethereal and a bit weird. It's just genuinely, in a prayerful heart towards God, I'm going to read his word and be like, speak to me. Speak to me through your word. And be nourished by him in this kind of, if I can say this, this interplay of the Spirit of God in your own heart and life, and the word of God, and the practical reading of the word of God. Like all of these things, they come together, and we are nourished by him in this way. And it's just like, just slow it down and read the word. Amen. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we just want to say thank you, really, this morning. We want to say thank you for the abundant, extravagant provision that you have made, both in the gift of your Spirit and the gift of your word in our lives, the comprehensiveness of your generosity was unfathomable. But we want to say thank you, and to just turn again this morning to look to you in gratitude, and to be able increasingly to be nourished by your word, and to have courage to be unapologetic about your word, which speaks of you and is for our good, Lord. We pray that increasingly that you would bring a greater alignment of these things in our lives, and that we would, if we in any way hide in shadows, that we would come out with a smile and with joy and with an understanding that all of the inspired word of God is beautiful, and it is for the good of men and women, and it is for your glory. And it's this, above everything else, that we pray this morning as we engage with you and love you in this way, that you would increasingly be glorified in amongst your children and in your church. Amen.